All right. This is Mike Payne. I'm 41 years old, and I'm here with my grandma, Helen Payne, in Indianapolis, Indiana. Helen is my grandma, and she is 96 years old, and today is June 11th, 2015. So, Grandma, can you tell me about one of your happiest childhood memories? Is there anything that comes to mind when you were a child that just makes you smile?
Well, I had a lot of them, I think. I lived on a farm, and we had lots of things to do, and including work. We had livestock to take care of. One of the funniest times was we had a big barn, and we had what they called a corn sheller, which you'd have to put an ear of corn in, and it'd come out in green corn grains to feed the livestock. So therefore, we had a lot of corn cobs that the corn grows on. When we got a basket full, why, there was five of us children. And we'd have a corn cob fight in the barn. And one day, my dad came in from the field for lunch. Apparently went in the barn first before he came to the house, because he came in the house and he said, "You know, did you kids see anything unusual this morning?" No. He said, "Well, you know what? Somebody came in the barn while I was gone, and they took all those corn cobs that was in the basket there I was going to get rid of, and they threw them all over that barn, upstairs and down." And he said, "I can't find out who did it, but," he said, "if I come in tonight and they're still there, why, somebody's going to clean them up. And I'd rather the one that did it would clean them up. So if you see anybody, why, be sure and remember who it was see that they clean them up, because there's going to be trouble if I come home and they're still there." And that's all he said. He walked out. As soon as they got out of sight, of course, we had all of us ran to the barn to start cleaning them up, because we knew who did it. And I've laughed over that many times, because he didn't really bawl us out for anything or punish anybody. He let us know that he knows, that he knew who had been in the barn.
He sent the message.
So we had a lot of incidents like that, really. My sis would never ride a horse. She wanted to just read all the time. And, of course, none of the rest of us liked that. So we finally coaxed her into getting on a horse one time, and the neighbor kids was there. And she got on the horse, and just as soon as she had her sitting on there good, and somebody, wasn't me, hit the horse on the rump. And, of course, he took off real fast, she managed to hold on, but she hated us after that.
I bet.
Because she was afraid of it. And, silly things like that. Because we had neighbor kids across the road, and they'd come over and help us.
Yeah.
And so that's the most things I remember. The pleasant things, it was, of course, others not so pleasant, because back then you didn't have electricity and you didn't have running water. Everything was hand done. So we never had any power failures or anything like that, because there wasn't any.
Right.
Failure, telephone to hang on the wall.
Well, that leads me to my next question, which is, are there any not so good memories that stand out from your childhood?
Every what?
Any not so good memories? Are there any? I guess maybe what are some of your worst childhood memories?
Oh, there's lots of them too. But well, the job I hated the worst that I usually had to do, we had to get up and milk the cows every morning before we went to school. Oh. And you couldn't get cleaned up before you come out, because then you had to milk the cows, and basically when it was warm, why, the flies and all that, and the cows were swatting you in the face with their tail.
Wow.
And cleaning out the barn, we had to help do that too. Where the cows and sheep and everything went to the bathroom, and we all hated that. But somebody had to do it, so we had to exchange. I think it was once a week we'd trade jobs, so one dad had us change, so one wouldn't have to be stuck with all the dirty work. So.
Right.
Yeah, so.
Wow, that's a little bit different than my childhood. Hmm. That's a little bit different than my childhood.
Yeah, I'd say so. That'll be a childhood like Brian's kids will have.
Yeah, they're growing up to be quite the farmers themselves, aren't they?
Yeah, but of course you had to gather up the eggs after the hens laid the eggs, and then if they didn't want you on the nest, they'd peck you. And I still got some scars from that.
Wow.
And they didn't want you taking their eggs because they wanted the chickens to hatch. You know?
Yeah.
So, but you put your hand under there to get the eggs, and man, they'd catch you. Whew. Just about every time.
Jeepers.
And the little chicks, of course, they was cute as they could be. But if you bothered them, why, the hens would be right after you. And besides the roosters, and they could hurt you, the roosters could. Mm. But we had all that stuff, and had to make garden too. This is not my childhood, but we lived in the country, you know, Frank and I.
Yeah.
And Ellen and Jim had to help make garden. But Ellen, she didn't want to do any of that, because we moved there when she was 12 and 13. And that wasn't her style, 11, you know. So. But her dad made her help plant potatoes. He told her, and he showed her how to plant them and everything. So we looked out the window pretty soon, and she was out there planting them, but she wasn't going down the row. She was standing at the end of throwing them, trying to get them a foot apart or 6 inch, whatever he told her. And and she he had to go out and get after her because she'd stand there at the end of the row and throw them out to her.
Yeah.
But you have to like farming to
Yeah, I would think so.
But if you grow up with it, it's a lot easier. But I think just born in some people, I think that's the way Brian is. And then, of course, Crystal grew up with it, so that makes a big difference, too. So
you mentioned that you didn't have electricity. At what point did you get electricity?
Pardon?
When did you get electricity?
Not till I moved to Paris.
Oh.
Yeah.
And that what was that like?
That was after I graduated from high school.
Oh. Wow, okay, so not until you were out of high school. Was that a pretty amazing shift when you got electricity?
Oh, yeah. I moved first before I got married and had a room there because I worked at a factory there in Colson Company. And I moved and had a room there with a lady. And the first place I stayed, I had to walk. I would say it was at least 2 miles there and back, 2 miles one way.
Right.
And I remember I walked that ever, even went home for lunch because I didn't have much money. I don't know what I was making, about 5 cents an hour or something. Mm. And so then somebody told me about a lady that right close to work that I had an empty room if I wanted to rent it. So I went to see about it, and the one I just had was just a room, bedroom, and shared a bath. And this one was an upstairs room with a walk-in closet, and you had to still share the bath, but go downstairs. And but it was a big room, and it had a walk-in closet, and then outside in the, what they call up the, where the, you go upstairs and, they usually have a space where you can go each way. In a hall, I guess, like you've got one, Simmer.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And so I had all that. And so I stayed with her then until I got married. But she was the best lady to me. Her husband worked at night, and so she fixed supper while I ate with her. So,
oh, that's nice.
So she was a wonderful lady. She's not living now, but anyway, and we had electricity there, but that's the first we had electricity. And but at home, we didn't have any television for a long, or any, no television, no radio, and the telephone was a party line, where they'd be five or six on the same line, and if you'd hear somebody's phone ring, you could hear the different ones.
Yeah.
If you wanted to eavesdrop, you had to.
I remember Dad telling me a little bit about that. Did you spend much time eavesdropping?
Pick up the phone and listen. And you could hear more gossip, I guess you'd call it, than anything else.
Yeah.
But the people, that's the only connection they had,
That's pretty neat. I could actually see people liking that today if we could figure out how to do that again.
Yeah. Yeah, it It was a different world, that's for sure. But then when I got married, we had a little house at first, but we didn't stay there very long because we couldn't afford it. And then we moved back to an apartment. Lived there, and then we built a house. It's a small house, but it's still there. You know where it is, don't you?
Yeah.
Down in Paris.
Yeah, I do.
And that's the one we built. We lived there 12 years, and then we sold that and moved to the country. And of course, Ellen was about 12 years old because she was a year old when we moved into that new little house. And, anyway, that's about the story of, unless you want to know something specific, because...
I mean, that was very specific. Yeah, I love hearing about it. It's such an amazing difference from... It's such an amazing difference from what I've experienced in my life. And, you know, one of the things I remember, I guess from my childhood, is showing up at your house in Paris. And I always have such wonderful memories of being there and playing cards and eating cheesecake and feeding the ducks at the pond in town. And those are some of my best childhood memories are those the road trips we would take as a family, all piled in the station wagon, coming down to see you and Grandpa in Paris and see my grandma in Kansas, my other grandma in Kansas, mom's mom, and those are really good memories I have of spending time at the house with you and Grandpa and.
Well, that was good because we didn't have much, but then we...
You had love. That house had a lot of love in it. Had a lot of love in that house.
Yeah, we have that.
So I have another question for you. This one might be a little tougher. Can you tell me some of the lessons you've learned about... the relationships in your life. I guess I'm looking for some wisdom around things you've learned about friendship and family and things that you think are important to sort of carry on.
There's lots of them, I think. Well, I don't know. I think when I was a kid, what I remember mostly was, it was important for mom and dad to listen to what I had to say, whether they had a comment or, and most of the time, of course, they didn't approve. But I think especially when you're getting older, you need somebody to listen, you know, till you say what you want to say, and then you can evaluate how they handle it and stuff. But like my dad just listening there that time, you know, that's one thing I remember, I think, more than anything else about him. And and mom, of course, she had to be the most disciplinarian because she was the one that was with us more. And I don't remember her ever saying, we'll deal with this when Dad comes home or something, you know, putting you off. She never
She would just deal with that.
That I remember, she didn't make him the villain. But he knew. I think they communicated well, and tried to do what each one of them wanted, not just one. You're the boss, and we never had that, or I didn't anyway. There's, of course, there's times when you think they play favorites, but it usually is not true. So.
Yeah. Is that something you sort of learned and carried forward in your life?
Pardon?
Is that something you tried to carry forward in your life?
Yeah. Well, I just try to be... I know I try to be pleasant around people. I don't go around. I don't think I do. If I do, you can tell me.
No, not that I've ever seen.
But I don't. I don't think I ever did complain much about what I had or what I didn't have, and now would be the first time, really, I've had complained, because I probably did complain more than I thought I did, but I don't remember ever. Just everything was complaint, you know. And I think there's a lot of people here that way.
Yeah.
Because they're used to having everything handed to them.
Yeah.
And I never had that, so. And it, I don't, I expect people think I do, but I try not to complain about everything.
I've never known you to be a complainer.
But I always tried not to be, but... And I was aware of it. It wasn't that I know I could have got away with it sometimes, but I don't like that way of doing. And,
so can you tell me...
Pardon?
Can you tell me, what do you think, you know, when I think about you and Grandpa, I have, you always seem very happy and very on the same page, and
we were.
And I'm curious as to what, you know, what are some of the things that you think were really important in your marriage with Grandpa that helped you guys to have such a great life together?
Well, I don't know about him, but
you can speak for him right now.
But he was always good to me, and he was always polite, and he didn't take me for granted, I didn't think, and I was aware of that, and I tried not to take him for granted either, because he was about anything that I needed to have fixed and everything, he would do it. I mean, he didn't, only one time, and that's the last time I remember asking him to fix anything. Of course, he wasn't very well then, but anyway, one year I was cleaning out the cabinets, and I thought, well, I could have another shelf in there, and it'd make twice a room. You couldn't say it was tight, but then just a wasted space. So I asked him to fix it, put a shelf in there. Oh, sure, he said, that's no problem. This was after he retired. But he did a lot of work for other people and golf, playing golf. And so he just never did get around to fixing it. So one day I was looking at it again, and I thought, hey, that's no problem. I'll fix it myself. So.
Sounds like you.
So I did. I went down to the shop. He always had a lot of stuff down there. I knew he had some shelves down there because he had taken some of my dining table chairs and made shelves out leaves in the dining, made shelves for something he wanted.
Yeah.
So I knew that was there, but I needed some braces, you know, wooden braces to go underneath it. And I looked and looked and couldn't find any that was all finished or anything. So I found some that was just rough lumber, but they were shaped like braces. So I found two of them. So I brought them upstairs and I put them up and I got the shelf and sawed it to the right length and put it on top of them. Well, it worked just fine.
Yeah.
So I just went ahead and put it up, and then I didn't say a word to him about it, and he got back. And of course, he went, I don't know how many days it went, but anyway, he didn't fix it. And so the next time to clean the cabinet, I was up there cleaning. And looked at the braces, and they were all sanded. And it was level. You know, I didn't even level it. I know I didn't. And he had fixed it somewhere in the meantime.
Yeah.
But you know what? It was after he was gone that I found it. I'd used it for at least a year, probably. Never even noticed that he fixed it. I was embarrassed.
Why were you embarrassed?
Because I hadn't seen what he'd done. I didn't. I always thanked him for doing everything, you know, and happy he thought of it and so forth.
Yeah. He was probably embarrassed that he hadn't fixed it in the first place.
He probably was waiting for me to thank him for.
Yeah.
But, of course, he was embarrassed when he found it and saw what a crap job I'd done, I'm sure.
That's probably not what he was thinking. He was probably thinking, oh, crap, I didn't do what I was supposed to do.
Going to be replaced here if I don't watch it. But anyway, just little things. But I think the main thing is that we did let each other know that we appreciated what they did.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you can just fight over everything or you can do the best you can and let it go. And we work together in most everything, so. And then outside activities, we played cards, you know, and had. If we didn't have something to do, well, we'd think of something and get the neighbors to play cards or and then we played golf whenever he wanted to go on me to go, whenever he asked me why, I'd go and play with even with the men, you know, sometimes. And I wasn't near as talented as he was in some things, but anyway, it's at the golf one day. We were down at Kentucky Lake playing this after he retired, and I was in the pro shop, and I had come in, I think, to get the tickets or something, and he was down at the first green, just sitting there waiting, you know, wait. So pretty soon I said to that lady, she wanted to talk, and I said, well, I better get down there. I said, he wants me to play with him, so I'm going to go down and play. And she said, if he's sitting down there waiting on you, get going, she said. She said, she said, you'd be surprised how many men stand around in here and wish their wives wouldn't play. And she said, it happens all the time, every day. Yeah. And she said, they'll just stand here and gripe because they got to wait on their wife to go play and stuff. I never had that, so.
Yeah. Sounds like he liked you out there playing with him.
Yeah. So at least I did. She thought I did one thing wrong. So. Right, you know.
But yeah.
Anyway, just little things like that. And after he passed away, the lady that run the pro shop in Marshall, where we play a lot, you know,
mm-hmm.
She came up and brought a potted plant, and she gave it to me, and she said, I want to tell you something. She said, all of in the pro shop, she said, we, I'm going to say this right. She said, of all the hundreds of people that passed through that golf course down there, she said, you and Frank were our favorite couples.
That's very sweet.
That was a compliment, I thought. So.
Yeah.
Because they had been there, you know, ever since we started playing, they was there.
Mm-hmm.
But she said, you and Frank are our favorite couple. So that was nice.
That's really
somebody
nice.
Somebody else noticed it.
Yeah. Well, I think it was obvious. It seemed obvious to me as a kid.
You wouldn't think they'd be paying any attention to stuff like that.
I remember, some of my fondest memories of Grandpa are...
You what?
Some of my fondest memories of Grandpa are playing chess. Sitting in the house playing chess. Yeah. And
that's one thing I never could play. I just couldn't.
He used to beat us up, and he'd never let us win, or at least, you know, that's what it felt like. And then
I remember
coming down. I don't remember how old I was, but I remember playing him for the first time and beating him, only to find out that Amy was the first grandchild to beat him a couple weeks before that. And I really burned my britches because I thought I was going to be the first one to beat him, and Amy did it a couple weeks before.
Yeah, he never let anybody win. He just, in fact, I asked him once about it, and he said, I'm not going to let them win. If they win, they're going to win.
Yeah, I only won that one time. It's the only time I did it, but... It was. He was very patient with us, as we learned, and we always had a good time sitting there, just laughing and playing chess and watching him beat us.
Yeah, he liked to play chess, and that's something I just didn't like. I think because I had to think too much. But anyway,
So how has has your life been different in any way than you imagined?
Yeah, what?
Has your life been different in any way than you'd imagined it would be? If you look back on your life, has it been different than you'd imagined it would have been years ago?
Well, at first place, I never expected to meet somebody like Frank. Because in high school, I never had a bow that turned me on. I mean, there just wasn't any that I thought, well, maybe nobody for me then. But then when he worked, of course, at Colson's is where I met him, I didn't know him really. Like I said, I stayed with this lady that had room with this lady.
Mm-hmm.
And Oh, she fixed me up a time or two with a lawyer and somebody else there in town. But, and so then one night somebody knocked on the door, and I can't remember for sure whether she said, "You answer," or something. And I opened the door, and there was Frank. He had this big bouquet of flowers.
Good man.
And he said, I didn't ask him, had I? And he said, I knew who he was when I saw it, but, or, he said, "Would you like to go to the movie?" He said, "There's a new theater over Charleston that is opening tonight. And it's Doris Day and something, I can't remember what it was." And I said, I don't know. I said, "Come in." So then I went in the other room and talked to Minnie, and I said, she said, "Of course, who is it?" And I said, "Well, I don't really know him." I said, "His name's Frank Payne." "Oh, I know him," she said. And she said, "What do you want?" And I said, "Well, he wanted to know if I want to go to the movie, and I don't know whether to go or not." And she said, "Why not?" She said, "He's okay." And I said, "Yeah, but he's been divorced." And she said, "That don't hurt him." So she said, "Go get ready and I'll talk to him." So that's what I did, and that's how I... And then we went to the movie, and that was the start of it. So
took a chance.
Then I think the next time he made another date, and the next time we were supposed to go, I got sick with the flu. So I had her call him, and so she called him, and he said, "Okay." But about an hour later, here he come with a down. I was in bed because I was sick, and so he came upstairs bringing a big red apple, about like all polished and everything. I asked his mother about it later, and she said, "Yeah," she said, "I had to polish that apple before he bring us."
Wow.
But anyway, that's the way it started. So.
Well, sounds like he was definitely sweet on you from the beginning.
Somebody put him up to it, I think. But anyway, then we just go to movie there in town mostly, and there was a little, wanted to take a drive, there was a little, it wasn't big like McDonald's, it was just a little hamburger place clear over Terre Haute, so we go over there and get a sandwich. Just something to do. And so that's the way it started. And we really didn't go together that long. But of course later, after I went with him, well, of course, found out his mom and dad. Well, I knew his grandpa, and they lived in the same vicinity as Dad, my dad and mom.
Okay.
In fact, Dad used to work for great-grandpa Payne. And so, because there were the habits, and Dad and Mom was the have-nots, of course. But anyway, we all lived in a Bloomfield community and went to Bloomfield School, which was a country school out in there. And the old Payne homestead, I don't know if you was ever there or not.
I don't think I was.
It was between Paris and Chrisman, and it used to be a really nice house and set up on the hill. And but then after grandpa was gone, they rented the house. And it got on fire anyway and burnt down. All those renters were living there. So, but anyway, in the years past, the two families that lived close together, you know, found out, but. Of course, that was years, a lot of water under the bridge since then. That was when, of course, Grandma and Grandpa Payne, Grandma Florence.
Yeah.
They got married and they lived, they had built a log cabin and they lived in it there on the Payne farm for the first years. And then they moved down the road to Aunt Becky Whited place, and we had lived there. Mom and Dad and I had lived there. And the other kids in the same place that he had when he was growing up. So, but actually, the two families knew one another, but we didn't know one another. So, but anyway, that's a lot of stuff you wouldn't understand today. Like Mom and Dad took me to, we didn't get married at home. We went to Kentucky and got married. But Mom and Dad took me to buy a wedding dress. And we were looking through them, and of course I was trying to be frugal because I knew I needed to be. And anyway, we're looking and looking at all the dresses and tags and see how much they cost and stuff. Dad come over and he said, "Which one do you want?" And I said, "I can't make up my mind because the prices are so different." He said, buy the one you want because it'll probably be the last one I'll ever buy you. And just went on, you know.
Yeah.
But anyway, that's I've still got that dress.
Oh, yeah? It's in the apartment here, huh?
Pardon?
Is it in this apartment here?
I think it is.
Yeah?
Somewhere in the storage, probably.
Wow, neat.
And so just crazy things. But anyway, Manny had a lot to do with whether I went out with him first or not, because I really... She was really good to me, and I had a feeling that Mom and Dad had said, "Well, take care of her," and because that first time I'd been away from home, you know. And then they brought her all kind of garden stuff and everything. It helped with the meals. I mean, they didn't know I knew that, but
yeah, I'm sure.
But they did, so.
Well, let me ask you this, transitioning a little bit. At this point in your life, at this point in your life, do you feel misunderstood? I'm curious as to, you know, how you're feeling at this point in your life, and you know, I know it's
well, I don't now. I felt misunderstood all through high school. I just couldn't. I never had a real close friend, you know. And I had two or three girlfriends that we went places together with, but it just seemed like that I didn't belong, I guess, to a, what they call them now. I didn't belong to a cult.
A cult, a group, a pack, a clique.
It's better I didn't. I mean, I can't think of anybody that I went to school with that I would trade places with, which is a good sign.
Yeah, it's a really good sign.
And as far as who I'd trade places with now, I wouldn't. I mean, I think my life turned out excellent, really. I got a lot of good grandsons.
Well, you at least got one good grandson here. My brothers, who knows, you know, pack of wolves, but...
That's your story.
I say that because I know they'll hear this.
I enjoyed, having the right to take care of them and stuff, too, while they were growing up. I really enjoyed that. Glad Mom and Dad trusted me with them.
We were just talking about that this morning. Memories of being at your house while Mom and Dad were away, and yeah. All of us remember bits and pieces, but none of us remember the whole story. But I remember being down there, going for walks with you and Grandpa, and I remember playing the golf course in Paris one time when we were down there, and it's you guys were always very good to us, and definitely gave us a sense of.
I especially wanted to. Do you remember the time when Jason went to the hospital and you and Eric came down?
Oh, is that so? Jason went to the hospital and Eric and I came to visit with you? We were just talking this morning and we couldn't remember the story. Yeah. Tell me the story. I can't remember it.
Well, it was Jason had to have surgery or something. He run into the back of a car with his bicycle.
I remember that very well, yeah.
And I knew he was going to have surgery, so I called up Mom and offered to take you two boys when she had to go to the hospital. And so she did, and I said, well, you have to bring them halfway because I don't drive very good on the... So she brought them down to Kankakee, and I took you from there. But and we got down to, I think it was Ogden, where the roads changed, and they had a playground there, and I said, now get out and run so you'll be ready to go all the way home. And you did. It was just a little park there. Huh. And
Do you remember how old we were?
Well, you weren't very old, because you must have been about, I don't know how much difference there is any. I think you was, you were the oldest, and then Eric.
Yeah.
And you're only a few months apart. I can't remember for sure. But I would guess about 4 and 5 or something like that,
I was thinking about a different bicycle accident, so that must have been a...
You what?
I was thinking about a different bicycle accident that Jason had, so that must have been another one.
Must have been, yeah. But anyway, Nan, do you remember having the street tore up and you...
I don't remember it, but...
I think you were still smaller then, but...
Okay.
They was working on my street, and you couldn't drive down it because they was putting the sewer right down the middle. And you kept begging to go out and play in the backyard, and I finally said, well, you can go out in the backyard if you stay in the backyard, because it's going to be muddy everywhere else.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, we can do that. Next time I looked out, no boys. So out I go started to go around, look for you, and here come Well, it was you, because, yeah, because you come running around the corner and you said, "Oh, Grandma, come quick. Eric's stuck in the mud." Then you were. I went out in your boots. You had your boots on and they were full of mud. So what did I do? I turned the hose on you.
I sure be like that.
So that was a big story, that trip.
Wow.
And then when we took you home, Frank went with me on the weekend, of course, and we went all the way, and Jason was home. And I walked in, and Jason was sitting in there in the kitchen with his feet up. And I said, "Oh, my goodness." I said, "You're all right. You look like a king." Donna says, "Acts like one, too."
And this must have... Was Brian born yet?
Pardon?
Was Brian born yet?
No.
He wasn't born yet. Okay, so that was pretty young then. Yeah?
No.
Oh.
No, or he'd come, too, because Donna needed to be at the hospital with Jason. And just fun things.
Mm. Do you have... As I get older, and as I sort of move on in life, do you have any advice for me? Anything that sort of you would encourage in me as I get older, in terms of how I think about life or live life?
No, I just say I never did much when I was older, but just try to keep your family together and all getting along and stuff, you know. But you can't, after they're grown, you can't boss them all the time, because that don't work. So
yeah,
you can suggest that it just... I always thought, well, once they are on their own, why then they're, if they want advice, they'll ask me. Mm-hmm. If they don't, why, well, try not to give it. And I don't know whether it worked or not, but I tried that anyway.
Yeah. Just provide a little space, huh? Just provide some space, huh?
Yeah, that's what I did.
Yeah.
At least that's what I thought I was doing, so. I know Ellen a while back, she was going on, it's before they, Charlie never liked to travel, you know, he didn't like to. And she wanted to, and, but they didn't till they moved to Florida, actually, and, anyway, about her girlfriends, it was two of them, they was all close together, and she was talking about where all they had been and everything, and she said, "I never went anywhere." I said, "Well, you did. You went on senior trips to whenever the school went." I said, "Well, I never moved away." I said, "Well, I didn't stop you." "No," she said, "I know you didn't." But she said, "I always resent." I said, "Now, would you trade places with either one of those girls today?" "No." "Well," I said, "that says something." I said, I wouldn't change my life. I thought times that I was abused and run over and all this, but I said, "I wouldn't trade places with anybody today, anybody that graduated with me." So anyway, she And then she said, "Why, I didn't get to go." I said, "You went to New York, Ella. I can remember about that you went to New York." What is a girl's name that dance?
That dances?
That dance at New York with a kicker, some kind of kickers. Anyway, that there was somebody on a trip down there going to New York, and I said, "Well, you already seen that." "No, I haven't. I never went to New York." I said, "I'm sorry, Ellen, but you did." I said, we paid for you to go to New York." "No." So she went on the trip, and when she got back, she said, "You were right, Mom." As soon as I got in the music hall, I remembered to see it. I think everybody looks back at different phases of their life and regret, but nothing big. And I don't, I just wish I would have been happier in high school, instead of probably looking for something to not like or something,
Yeah.
Because they were all city people and I was a farmer. And back then they looked down on you for that. So.
Mm.
I don't know. But Grandpa and I, we bowled together and we played cards together. The recreation, I think we tried to do it together, not one go off some way and one go the other. I think that worked better than any. And yet she allowed space if they wanted to, but, you didn't. He didn't go off and play cards somewhere, leave me at home.
Did you guys have to work to find things in common to do, or did it come natural?
Yeah, you just kind of fell into it, I guess you'd say.
Yeah.
And it just, and if you one liked one thing, well, you could try it, and see if you, and if you liked it, you'd go ahead with it. Only one thing it never, like I said, was playing chess.
Never stuck.
But that was, it would have been not as good, I don't think, because you wouldn't have got out, and see other people. Like playing cards and we had card clubs that come to the house, couples, two or three card. We had, when we lived in a little house, we had three couples that played canasta together all the time. And we even played poker with Paul and Mary at day. We didn't play for big money. We put, each one of us put $1.50 in when we started. And then when we run, if we spend it all and run out of money, we got to play for nothing. So.
Oh, nice. Free.
But then whoever had the pot at the end, so the $1.50, that would have been times three, had been why they got the pot if it was all still, or if there was 20 cents left in it,
right.
They got that. So, but it was something to do, have something to drink or sandwich or something, talk about everybody. But anyway, it served us really good. Well, is that the end of the interview?
I have one more question, which you've probably answered in a number of different ways, but I'll ask it anyway, which is, what are you most grateful for in your life?
I'd say a family. That's it for all, because to me that was the most important, I think. And still is.
Yeah.
I hope other people think of it that way. I wonder sometimes, but but anyway, I think family needs to be there for each other, and to play and for the bad things too, because they're going to happen regardless. So.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah, I think that's I think you've instilled that in all of us. I think all of us have felt that, and I think all of us, everybody figures it out in their own way along the way.
Yeah,
but
I think so too.
I think that's in us, and I think you're a big part of why that's in us. And,
yeah.
And I would say one of the things that I'm grateful for is that I feel like I've gotten to know you a lot better as I've gotten older, and I feel like I was given a chance to get to know you in a way that maybe when I was younger I didn't, and that's been I've loved that, and I feel quite grateful that you've gotten to see my kids and know them,
yeah.
And I have a picture that I have at work. I keep it up right next to my desk at work, and it's a picture of you looking out your window in Paris, Illinois, at Abby and Emily playing in the snow in your backyard.
Doing what? A
drawing? Abby and Emily are playing in the snow in the backyard at your house, and you're sitting inside at your table, and I've taken a picture of you looking out at them playing in the snow, and it it always makes me smile, and I feel lucky that that you've gotten to see them, grow up and be a part of things.
I like to play in the snow. Snowman. Was it you that time, one of you boys, we decided to take a walk, just the two of us. And I don't know, we just walked down the street and back or something. But when we got back, you didn't know what it, you said, "What's a snow angel, Grandma?" And I said, "I don't know. It's a picture of an angel that's playing in the snow." Mm-hmm. "Well, what is it?" So I slayed down the yard and went this way. Then you laid down and went with me. So it's a, and I thought the last snowman I made hadn't been that long ago, because I usually made a snowman and put it out there in that flower bed, there.
Yeah.
Last one I made was about a foot tall, because I couldn't lift the balls after I got them picked up.
Right.
I rolled up, I couldn't lift them.
Yeah.
So I just made a little one and set it. But that thing lasted and lasted. But
well, it sounds like you to just jump on the ground and make a snow angel.
Yeah.
So.
Well, you just laid flat on your back and put your arms out this way.
Yeah, flop around, yeah.
Yeah. I don't think you've been here. Did you see that Alan made me a book of, it's mostly my family.
Yeah.
That I grew up with. And did you see that?
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, tell you it's over there.
All right, maybe when we finish here, I'd love to see it.
And it's what made me think of it was a snowman with a put a pipe in its mouth. Mm-hmm. You probably remember it. It was, no, you wouldn't have been old enough. Anyway, then I think it was Ray and, no, it would have been Jim and Alan made this snowman and they put a pipe in his mouth.
Mm-hmm.
And then somebody wanted my picture out in the yard, so I grabbed that pipe out and put it in my mouth. That picture's in there.
Oh, I want to see it. Well, Grandma, it's been awesome to be able to sit and talk with you like this. And I appreciate you being game for the interview. It's been a lot of fun for me.
How about letting me see it before you publish it?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
There's probably a lot of interesting things back, but when you're sitting talking about them, you don't think of them, you know. But
I think you told me a bunch of really interesting things, and they probably don't seem all that fascinating to you, but for me and the rest of the family, there are things that, you know, there are a lot of stories that you've told us over the years. It's nice to have some of them recorded.
And tell Jim I didn't tell any stories on him.
He's probably sweating that right now.
I could have thought of a lot of them.
Is there one you should tell us before we end here?
Yeah. No, it's but he and Howard, they, Jim Boyer too, they was always getting into something. So.
Any particular one stand out? Or are you going to protect him?
No, I'm going to protect him. Now this one, it was been when they were about 12 or 13 probably. I don't remember. I tried to stay out of the... Anyway, Frank taught him all the things to know about shooting and, of course, fishing and everything. But anyway, they... Howard and his dad used to go coon hunting. Have you ever heard any coon hunting stories?
I'm sure I have. Dad's told me a variety of hunting stories over the years.
But where they, at night, you know, they have to hunt them at night. So I wasn't much in favor of that. But anyway, they did. And they had been gone an hour, maybe longer, I forget, and the telephone ringing. And one of them, I don't know which one, called, said, well, come and get us because the sheriff's got us, or something like that. And Frank said, where are you? And he said, well, we was walking in the woods and we come out on the Sulphur Springs Road instead of the one you're on. Uh-huh. And so they went to get them and they was clear over on the, oh, it was in the area where all the big house, fancy house and stuff. But anyway, they had went to the door to see if they could use the telephone. They really hadn't done anything. And they saw they had guns. So, of course, mm-hmm. then they went back and called the sheriff, what they did. And so they had come and picked up the boys, and I think the sheriff knew both of them, but he thought it'd be a good lesson for them, so, and he was right, but anyway, they...
So you're saying my dad has been in the back of a police car?
Pardon?
So you're saying my dad has been in the back of a police car, huh?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. That's good to know.
They did. And so... they ended up just giving them a good talking to and stuff, you know. But Anyway, they got picked up for, they were actually hunting deer if they'd stay, or coons if they'd have stayed in the woods, but then they was lost and they didn't know where they were. So.
Yeah.
And it was nighttime, so. But anyway, that's what happened to them on that deal there. They always doing something like that and getting in trouble. But of course they were dangerous because they were carrying those guns. If they come to my door, I'd have been scared too.
Yeah. So. Well, thank you so much for talking with me, Grandma. And so this is Mike Payne and his grandma, Helen Payne, signing off. Perfect timing. Someone's at the door.
Must be Jim. Come in. Jim's the only one I'd be knocking, I think.